As you know from the text already, it's about prayer. So you probably had heard a lot of slogans already about prayer. We live in a world of slogans. Advertising is working with that, you know, just give the right slogan, the word snippet, the right, you know, sound bite, and you will remember that. And unfortunately, that's how elections are held nowadays too. You know, you just have sound bites. You don't take the time to go much deeper. And you probably heard a lot of those sound bites about prayer. One of them that you probably have heard is prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Who believes that? Well, I don't. Whoops. Had the hand up at the wrong point, eh? I don't. Because it's simply wrong. God changes things. And there's a minor difference, but it's a big one. God changes things. Prayer itself doesn't do a lot. God does. Because prayer is done in all religions, all over the world. So prayer in itself is not the thing. It's God. And as we focus on prayer, it's good to keep this in mind, you know, that we may have to rethink some things. And today, I want to warn you, this is more a challenging sermon and not an inviting one. You know, there's always this continuum between inviting and challenge. Today, it's more challenging, and I want us to challenge to think. Challenge to think about prayer. Challenge to think about our prayer life. Here's a quote from one of the authors that I used to read a lot, and I really often do, is from Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. He writes in his Sermon on the Mount, he says, "It is the highest activity of the human soul, and therefore it is at the same time the ultimate test of a man's true spiritual condition. There is nothing that tells the truth about us as Christian people so much as our prayer life. Everything we do in the Christian life is easier than prayer. Everything we do in the Christian life is easier than prayer." And that goes often into the face of everything that we hear. Oh, prayer is easy. Just open your mouth. Just speak your mind. Just do this and that. And prayer is the easiest thing in the world to do. But today I would like to challenge us to see that might not be the truth. Prayer is more than just speak your mind, although it has its place. And the Psalms teach us that we can do that, that God is big enough that we can speak our mind. But today it's more about what does Jesus say about prayer? How does your prayer life look like? What does it look like? What experience do you have with prayer? Does God answer your prayers on a regular basis? All of your prayers? How do we deal with that when God doesn't answer? And I would suggest that many do not pray because they have had disappointments, because God doesn't seem to answer. So they don't take this really serious unless they are in serious problems. Then all of a sudden we all remember that we can pray, but we don't have those frequent experience of prayer, answered prayers. And there's also then a whole spectrum of what prayer is and how prayer is used. You know, some use it every day as they go to the mall and shopping, you know, and they pray, "God, give me the parking spot right in front of the door." And then they truly believe that this is so, you know, that God will give them the parking lot. "And God, my snowblower isn't working. God, I put my hands on, please revive my snowblower back to life." And I'm not making this up. It's some that say this is true. My challenge to you, however, is what kind of God does this reveal? Prayer is influenced by one thing, and that is how I view God. That's how prayer and you and my prayer is influenced. Is God really that kind of God that is interested that I get the first parking spot in the mall? Is this the kind of God who is there for you and my convenience, that nothing is too difficult, that I just can slip in, don't have too much rain, too much snow, I'm in there, this is my God, wonderful. Is this the kind of God who is interested that your comfort level is not too much rattled when your snowblower goes out of business and you don't have to call anyone to fix it, or you may have to bend down and fix it yourself? That God has to step in? Seriously. But this is what we make God. We make God this puppet, you know, that comes to my convenience and for my issues and has to step in. So, that said, let's start to think about prayer. And we have four verses that we have read this morning, and they are Jesus' introduction into the whole topic of prayer. They come from the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount, as we probably know today, is not so much a whole sermon that he held at once, and it could be, as much as it is a collection of different sermons that God held at different places, because this text of the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord's Prayer, we find in Luke, for example, in a different context, where he teaches his disciples to pray after they ask him, teach us how to pray, and then he teaches the Lord's Prayer. Here it's in a different context of a larger sermon. So it means Jesus has talked about this more than once and in different occasions to different people. But he leads into this Lord's Prayer, with some clarifying words about what prayer is and what we need to know when we pray. And this will be our stepping stone into this kind of thing, what we call prayer. The first thing that we learn about prayer, that Jesus teaches about prayer, is that prayer is misused. Prayer is misused. Obviously, not everything that we call prayer is prayer. And he says it this way, and I read it now from the Message. It sounds more provocative when I read it in the Message. It says, Matthew 6, verse 5, "And when you come before God, don't turn that into a theatrical production either. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom. Do you think God sits in a box seat?" See, this obvious that prayer can be misused. The other text, a little bit later, he also talks some more about what prayer is not. He says in verse 7, "The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God." That's a very provocative way of talking about this. You know, we have it usually translated a little bit different. But Eugene Peters is actually trying to translate what it could have meant to those who have heard it for the very first time. Very provocative. Those who are the prayer warriors, you know, they're full of formulas and programs and advice, and when you pray, do this, and this is how you get more about God. And by the way, the world is full of books that help us to understand, supposedly, how to get more out of God. But again, is this what God really teaches us here? So prayer can be misused. How? The first thing that we learn from that, prayer can be misused for personal gain. Prayer misused for personal gain. So here in our text, we have seen that those, probably the high priests and the Pharisees and those religious class, how they have practiced prayer. Prayer was often a very public display. No, either in the house of worship, in the synagogue, that prayer was a production, it was really something ornate, where some prayed with some wonderful words and stood before God in a very holy position, whatever that may be, even with raised hands or kneeling down or laying prostrate on the floor, whatever. But it was a production, it was something that drew attention and drew attention to them. Or they did it in public places. When they stood in public places, they prayed so that everybody knew they prayed, so that everybody can watch and see what they're doing. It's somehow like those annoying people that you meet in the airport or somewhere who have their handy, you know, on the phone or on their ear and talk as loud as they can so that everybody knows the big business they're into. That's annoying. But that's how prayer is often misused, as a production, as something that draws attention to the wrong thing. It was to gain from that whatever in itself is good, to gain personal acknowledgement. To gain from that people applaud me and see how spiritual I am, how I can pray. And you see, our heart is such a wicked thing that we can sometimes don't even distinguish this and pull it apart. What really motivates us sometimes to do what we do? Even when we come together for worship. How often is what we do just for others? Just to show before others who we are, what we do? How often? And that's a question that you only can answer yourself. But the act of prayer in itself is not bad, but what it's bad about is the intention why I pray. What I use it for. When prayer is really that tool, that instrument that I can use and that I do use for my personal benefit. And that's the prayer that I pray when I go to the mall and pray for the parking lot, where it's for me, for my benefit, that I live it comfortably and that God is there to help me. We are inherently selfish. That's how we are born, selfish. And we know that unless God really does a tremendous work in our lives, that it changes and we see us ourselves who we truly are, we remain selfish. And how much of that selfishness is reflected in my prayers? It's about me, about my well-being, about what I need, what I want, about my desires, my wants, my comfort, my need, my well-being. Me, me, me. And that's why I pray. Just take a step back and watch your prayers. Listen to them. Who's at the center? I mentioned before, prayer is influenced by how I view God. If prayer is predominantly about myself, then God is for me my servant, who 24/7 is at my display. Whenever I need him, he listens. Whenever I call on him, he's there. And he will jump whenever I need something, because he just is there to fulfill my needs when I want it, how I want it, so that I am living the good life. I'm asking you, is this your God? Secondly, it can be misused to control outcomes. Again, they used prayer to control the outcome. There was a certain intention in this prayer when they prayed publicly with a big production. A certain intention. They wanted to gain the approval of other people. They want to determine the outcomes of what they do. And see, this is how often we even manage your own lives. There's so many things that we do not control. We know that. And because we know that, that there are a lot of things in our lives that we cannot control, that's why we have fear and anxiety. Because all that we cannot control creates fear. It's a normal reaction. It's something that we live with. And prayer is often then that kind of a tool that we use to manage my fears and to manage the outcomes, so that God becomes my partner who deals with my fears and my issues. And I will present to them my fears, and he will then partner with me and say, my friend, my dear soul, how can I help you? How can I help you in this moment? Tell me what you want. And then I shared with him, and then he will certainly do what I want. And we control with him all those that we fear. Is this what prayer is to us? I told you it's challenging, isn't it? Now we rethink everything that we pray. And it's good. Because we do need to stop sometimes and really think, what is prayer? Why am I praying? What am I praying? And I will tell you right then and there, why am I so often disappointed with my prayer? Because I'm misusing it. God is not jumping on that boat. God is not here to fulfill my needs at my time, at my will. If, then it's the other way around. God is not this kind of God, my personal little God that I can use for my purposes, that I control my outcomes, that I control my life. But if we have this kind of view of God, and God doesn't do what I want to do, then we are disappointed. Then we see, prayer doesn't work. God doesn't help. God doesn't answer prayers. He doesn't jump in when I pray. He doesn't do what I want. See, and how much are we using it? And please don't get me wrong. There's in itself nothing wrong to pray for the things that I'm afraid of. But what I'm challenging you today is just to think about what kind of God are you serving? Who are you making him to be? And who is he really? When our kids leave the home, what are we praying for? That God protects them. So we control fears, outcomes. But God, what if God doesn't? Who is God? Where was God? Typical question that we ask them, where was God? He didn't help. Do we have the right view of him? Well, how is then prayer practiced? How is it practiced? So Jesus teaches them in the same context what prayer looks like. And again, this morning we will by far not touch everything that we can touch on prayer. It's just what Jesus is telling us. So what's prayer? Let's see in verse 6. It's again from the message. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and as honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. Prayer
is first and foremost about God. It is about God and before God. It is that moment when I do step out of my little world and I lift my eyes and look into the presence of God. Again, another quote from Martin Lloyd-Jones. He says, prayer means speaking to God, forgetting ourselves, and realizing His presence. Prayer is that I lift my eyes away from myself and look into His eyes. It's communicating with the Creator of heaven and earth. Prayer is about being in the presence of God Almighty. It is the creature talking to its maker. It's me turning my eyes upon Jesus, thus looking away from me, looking into His eyes. Prayer is stepping out of my world into His, into the presence of my Father and my King. Prayer is speaking to the one by His very word I breathe every breath. Prayer is therefore an awe-inspiring encounter with the one who made everything there is. And it's therefore helpful to learn that practice that before we pray, we may just take a breath and think for a moment to whom we go, before whom we appear, who that is that I am talking to. To pray therefore means to remove what distracts me, to seek the secret place where I can be alone with Him, where only His eyes are resting on me, where He sees me in my need, in my environment, with my hurdles, with my challenges, where He just sees me and I see Him. Prayer is just make sure that I'm in the presence of God. And that's why Jesus talks here about just go into that secret place, go into that place where no eyes can see you, where nobody can observe you, where I don't have to play a show, not even tempted to play up a show. Just go close the door and just be with your Father. Be with your Father. Secondly, prayer practiced means to pray with God's approval. It is about Him. It's about His reward that I'm looking for, not anyone else's. His reward. And He says He will reward us when we go and seek His presence. I come before Him not as equal. I come before Him as a beggar, poor in spirit. And I come to Him alone without intermediaries. I come directly to the Father through Jesus Christ. And therefore prayer practiced is a healthy habit. It is stepping into the head office of the CEO of this world and have a personal conversation with Him and talk to Him and lay out myself before Him all alone, door closed, nobody there. For us to pray is for us to know who God is and to whom we speak. And therefore prayer understood is that what Jesus talks us thirdly. We need to understand prayer more than that, we need to understand God before we pray. We need to have a grip on who He is. And Jesus introduces God the Father very briefly here, but enough to make us squirm and rethink what we have ever thought about prayer. He says very shortly, don't be like them, verse 8. For the Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask Him. You see, the Father doesn't need any show. He doesn't need any technique. And how many times do we find prayers attached to certain techniques? And please don't get me wrong. It can help, but it doesn't help God. It doesn't make us more accessible to God the more we pray, or the louder we pray, or the posture in which we pray. It doesn't impress God. It helps us. It may help me to focus, to concentrate. That's it. It's not influencing Him. And that's why it says with these many words how we try to get more access to God. If we pray louder and pray more with more words or whatever, it's none of that. God is my Father. And He says, don't be like them. Your Father knows exactly what you need before you even ask Him. Now, that's an interesting concept. And then He would ask you, no, then why pray? I mean, what's the purpose? He knows what I need before I even ask Him. So that makes it, you know, it's wasted breath if I just then stand before Him and talk about that. And you know what? If we hear that argument, then I would say that's exactly true. That's exactly how we do get prayer wrong. Because in this case, it's about me. And if I have nothing to share about myself, then I have nothing to say. If He knows that already. And that's exactly the point that Jesus is going to make. God is a God who doesn't need information. He doesn't need information about myself. My Father knows. My Father knows. I come before Him, the God who knows everything, every detail of my life, every hair on my head is counted, it says in Matthew 10 that every sparrow that falls from the sky, He knows, He knows. God knows. I am not standing before Him saying, "Hey God, did you know what's going on in my life? Let me fill you in." And then I share Him about what's going on in my life. And God says, "Oh, really? I never knew. Interesting. Thank you for letting me know." Seriously? But see, this is what our prayers look like very often. You know, we tell Him, "God, this is going on, you know?" And again, please don't get me wrong. It helps sometimes myself, you know, to be clear about what's going on, that I need to be clear in my own head. But for God, I don't need to inform Him. Prayer is not that I stand before Him and tell about all the things that are going on in my world, in my life. God knows. God knows before I pray. God knows that the circumstance of my life, He knows me from the very time I took my first breath to this very moment. He knows everything that happened, everything that hurt me, everything that changed me, everything that influenced me. He knows my family. He knows my wife, my children. He knows my workplace. He knows my neighbors. He knows. He also knows what I think. He knows what I think in spite of the good words that I try to pray. So no pretense. God knows. And secondly, God not just knows, God also knows my needs. He doesn't wait for my suggestions how He should solve a certain problem, what He should do in my life, what He should do in the life of others. He doesn't need my suggestions. God knows what I need. In the following verses, verse 19 and the following, Jesus talks about this very incident or this very truth, that God is the God who knows and the God who cares. And He talks about this in the context of fear and anxiety. And how often we're anxious about, you know, and He puts it very down to the basics, how much what we wear, our clothes that we wear, what we eat. And we don't even understand that sometimes because we have so much of it. For us, it's really more like going to the closet and saying, "Oh, what am I going to wear today?" And please don't pray and say, "God, show me what to wear. Anyhow, God is the one who knows. And in this context, He says, you know, He knows the birds in the sky, and He feeds them. He knows the grass that grows, which is destroyed tomorrow because it's so hot, it burns. But He knows all that, and He cares for that. And in this context, then Jesus says, "Are you not way more than those things? You are human beings. You are the one that God loves. Don't you think that He cares for you? So let your first care be the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He will take care of you." God is not this kind of this father that doesn't care of you or you have to beg or anything. He is a Father who cares deeply about you, more than you can ever imagine. So rest in the fact that He knows. He knows your circumstance. You see, that has also this positive truth to it, that we don't have to make good words to explain God how I'm doing. And if you're really sometimes down the pits, depressed or whatever, you know how hard it is even to put it in words. And if the Father knows, then I can just be before Him. And He knows. He knows. He knows the depth of my heart, the depth of my feeling, the depth of the hurt, the depth of the pain, the depth of my joy. He knows. My Father knows. And then He also knows what I need. So, if that's so, what am I supposed to pray? What's left to pray if I don't have to fill my time before Him with explaining to Him all my circumstances and making Him some smart suggestion? What am I supposed to pray? I don't want to take anything away that we will hear next week, but in the following verses, Jesus is talking about this. This is then how He says, how you shall pray. And that is more or less praying about my Father's business, talking to Him about His business. See, when you know the Lord's Prayer, and you know probably it, at least you have heard it at some point of time, but the first three petitions are all about God. Hallowed be, you know, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let's talk about the glory and honor of His name. That God is glorious, that He is wonderful, that He is an awesome God, and that He wants nothing else but His glory and His wonderfulness, that this is known to us, that others know this, that he is lifted up in this world where people think and say so many bad things about God, where they doubt God, where they doubt his presence. God's name should be honored, praised, lifted up. That's something I could talk to God about in prayer. God, I want that your name is lifted up. That where they mishonor your name, that they see who you really are, that your character is known, that your grace, your mercy and love is known. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's a lot to talk about God's kingdom to come into my world. How does God's kingdom and reign come into this world? Through you. Through followers of Jesus Christ. That's how the kingdom of God extends in this world. God has only you and me as his feet and his hand and his mouth. And he wants to use you to extend his reign in this world. That his presence is known wherever you are. Where you work, in your family, in your neighborhood. That people know this is how Christ is. That's why we are disciples of Jesus Christ, to know who he is and how to represent him well. So this is how the kingdom of God comes. God comes, and this is what I can talk to him about. How can your kingdom come in me, through me, in my situations? There's a lot to talk about his kingdom, his reign. And yes, we learn in this prayer, and I don't want to take too much away to talk about the daily bread. We talk about relationships, how to forgive, and we talk about protection. But first and foremost, we talk about the kingdom of God. So rethink your prayer life. Just think for a moment, how am I usually praying? What is it that comes over my lips? Wouldn't that be something to watch out for next week? Just watch yourself and listen to yourself pray. See, one of the consequences would probably be, if we do that we'd be more quiet than we used to be. We might find ourselves more not saying anything before saying anything. And that's okay. That prayer starts with this moment of God. Let me just be here for a moment and just be aware that you are here, that you surround me, that you know my thoughts from far, that you knew when I woke up this morning and you know when I'm going to go to bed this morning. You know my coming in and my going out. That's what Psalm 139 teaches us about God, how he knows. And you become quiet and you might listen. And you might listen to him. Here I am. Speak. Let me hear your voice. What do you have to say? What do you think about my life? What do you think about my situation? What's your will? See, and we stop talking. And that's a good start to pray. Where we just stand before him and let him speak. And then we start this conversation. And again, there's only one way, only one aspect of prayer. We cannot touch everything. But for this week, that might be something to learn, to be quiet, to stand in his presence, be in his presence, and see what happens. See what happens, how he comes and ministers to you. How he may speak into your life ways that you have never even thought of. And then use his word, as we have heard last week, which is given to us to know him. Use his word. Let it speak. Let it do its work. And as we learn to be more quiet, we learn more to listen and to hear the voice of the Father speaking to me. And there's nothing more equipping and encouraging than to hear the voice of the Father. Nothing. To hear him speak comfort where we need words of comfort. Admonition when we need some admonition. Words of love when we just need affirmation. That's when prayer starts and we start talking about his business. Let's pray. Father, we come like the disciples did way back when, and we humbly ask you, teach us how to pray. Father, it may be that today we heard for the very first time that prayer is not what I thought it is. And I have seen for the very first time how selfish my prayer is and how I make you the servant of me and my wishes. Instead of me listening to you, hearing your voice, seeing where you are moving, seeing what you and hearing what you have to share with me. Father, as we venture out this week to learn again what it means to pray, I pray that you help us to encounter you, to encounter you in a very fresh and new way. And let us spend moments in silence when we calm our voices and our thoughts and give you the opportunity to speak. Let us have encounters with you, Father, that change us. Thank you that you teach us how to pray. Amen. We are now